Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
First, if you haven't downloaded the WGT Golf app and joined the DNVR Clubhouse, what are you even doing?
What's up,
WGT Golf is the most popular golf game in the world, and it's also honestly just a lot of fun. It has tested my patience. I get very frustrated during it.
I get mad at myself for being bad with my thumbs, and it's like
when you put
weird...
that eight up on the card. Yeah, it's like
I'm just what a like, psychological what? And then place I also hate in. Having to wait, but I'm getting better at the app. And at real golf. So my favorite part, though, has to be being able to compete head-to-head with players and you guys and the DNVR community members.
It's true.
Even though, have we all agreed that Adam rigged the last one?
Of course.
He rigged it to his benefit and still finished 15th.
Still,
I just want that on the record.
I put out on the Rockies podcast that anyone who beat him got a beer on me at the DNVR bar when it opens back up. So if you beat Adam in WGT, there's 14 people. Patrick Lyons is not eligible for this reward.
All right. If you're interested, download WGT and join the DNVR Clubhouse by going to dnvrgolf.com.
Nobody out. 3-2 on Charlotte. Jokic gets it across the timeline. Gets a high pick and pop with Murray. Lindsay breaking through.
Taken away by Nathan MacKinnon. 2-on-2 with Landeskog.
He has done it again. Vaughn Miller, ladies and gentlemen. Dump two hands. Nikola Jokic.
Save me by Grubauer with the left pad. Oh, goodness gracious me.
Take a good look. You won't see it for long. Two-run home run. Trevor Story.
Lock. End zone. Touchdown. Two for Sutton.
Got it! Oh, man! That's from way downtown! And the blue arrow is flying at Pepsi Center. Score! It's too good to be true, but believe it! Oh, hail, Kale!
Welcome into the Denver Sports Podcast, presented by the one and only Breckenridge Brewery, the official beer of DNVR. It's a beautiful Friday. Beautiful sound.
I almost air horned that one. I forgot which show I was on.
Oh, yeah.
Just the best sound in the world.
Beautiful.
Oh, how is the Mountain Beach? I love it.
Tell us. Describe it in detail. I haven't had it yet.
So I hate fruity beer, and I'm all in on this. So if that helps at all.
It's like a sour fruity beer.
Yeah, it's really, really light. The aftertaste doesn't sit with you the way a lot of fruity beers do for me. This is just like a really light, clean, easy drink. And you know what? It tastes like it looks outside right now. So
exactly. It's a beautiful Friday. It's going to weekend weather here in Denver is looking nice. Do yourself a favor and go get some Mile High City Lager or some Mountain Beach. You can get the Mile High City Lager, though, at most liquor stores, grocery stores, and even Costco. Yep. Plus, you can still order food from their farmhouse. So definitely check them out and show them some love. You've already heard a lot of voices, but today on the show, we've got Drew Kreisman, Andre Simone, Rudo, and Brendan Vogt. We are answering questions that you all have sent in, so let's just jump right in. We're going to go around, and each of you are going to give me your team's Mount Rushmore. A few of these are going to be pretty known, like the Broncos, but I think there are going to be some that have some room for discussion. So with that, let's start with the Broncos. Andre is representing the Broncos beat today.
John Elway.
So, Andre, who do you think is on your Mount Rushmore?
Surprisingly, John Elway did make my cut. It's John Elway, Terrell Davis. I'm going Von Miller, you know, and that's three Super Bowl MVPs in a row. I think just slightly best defender in franchise history over Champ Bailey, and edging Champ Bailey out for that final spot is Shannon Sharp. It really came down to you have, you know, one of the greatest tight ends of all time versus one of the greatest cornerbacks of all time. Illustrious, long-lasting careers for both. Shannon has the rings, though, and the mouth. But the mouth factored in less than the rings. But, you know, there's a guy in Gary Zimmerman who's on two all-decade teams at a position like left tackle who didn't make the cut. There's a Hall of Famer in Flo Little who didn't make the cut. You know, legendary players on the Broncos who don't make the cut. I'm sad there's no representative for that great 1977, the first Super Bowl team for the Broncos. But Randy Gradshaw didn't make the cut either, or Steve Atwater. So
you're putting Von Miller over all of those.
Yeah, I think the impact he's had, I think the position he's played, I think the level at which he's played puts him on there, and I really think he's the greatest Broncos defender of all time.
Trey, is there anything how much of that is objective versus could that possibly be a generational thing? Like if I'm an older Broncos fan, am I insisting it's Champ and that's recency bias and Vaughn, or is this clear cut?
I think Vaughn, you know, like Shannon versus Champ has that advantage because he's got the rings. He's got multiple Super Bowl appearances, though that year when they lost the Super Bowl, he didn't have much impact and was mostly sidelined. Yeah, I just think it's the awards, it's the longevity, and it's the level the franchise was at while he was there. Now, I didn't mention Peyton Manning. He could have been in there, but I'm trying to abide rules that I know our good friend would stand by, which is, you know, there's a statute of limitations. I don't know if he qualifies to be on Mount Rushmore, you know?
Can't even be close.
But I gotta add that I know you said you can't include coaches on this or owners or just the Broncos organization in general or each team's organization. So the question had that we got submitted also had Pat Bowlen in there, had Mike Shanahan, Ryan's. Was, I know RK's was John Elway, Mike Shanahan, Pat Bowlen, and Terrell Davis.
That's intriguing.
Do you paint, or I guess, do you chisel John Elway's face, or do you just chisel his arm? Does he get in there on the QB status alone?
The head actually might be too big for a mountain.
That's good point. Hey.
Just kidding.
I was thinking, you know, kind of the classic like horse face Elway caricature. I basically envisioned this as I've seen Broncos Mount Rushmores on the paper growing up. You know, that's interesting putting coaches or owners in there, and I guess the Broncos, more than any other franchise, would really qualify for that.
Yeah, are you going to change yours now that you know you can there. Add?
Yeah, Pat probably does make the cut, and then I'm kicking out Shannon Sharp, I guess.
Brutal. The conversation feels Von Miller so hard
over
for the
Terrell
Broncos.
Davis.
I would. Really?
You
yeah.
need like a first team, second team, third team.
Yeah, you got too many good players on the Broncos.
Ryan is saying that Terrell Davis won league MVP and Super Bowl MVP.
Yeah,
so
Terrell Davis
why he would
has
put
to
him
be there. Yeah.
Over Von Miller.
I agree. I just have Von Miller over Shanahan.
Oh, okay.
I don't know why I'm pulling a Mark Sanchez and eating a banana on this show.
What's
on
it's working so far.
I forgot we were live on video for a second. So.
Even if it was a podcast, we can hear that.
Yeah, I guess. That's fair enough.
Anyway.
It's still ridiculous. But I like the Pat Bowlen addition. I'm going to omit Shannon Sharp, but I'm sticking by Vaughn. Another Super Bowl MVP. I got to keep all those three Super Bowl MVPs. I don't care what anyone says.
All right, well, Drew, who do you think would be on the Rockies Mount Rushmore?
Oh, sure. Let's do the Rockies right after that. Yep. Right after the, like,
yeah, let's do the Rockies.
If you put front office personnel in there, then we got to take this out to 15 people. Not going to have that problem here.
Breidich didn't make the cut, you're saying?
Not quite, nor did O'Dowd or any of ownership groups over the years.
Mm.
Okay, so there are two slam dunk obvious ones here.
Yeah.
The two legitimate Hall of Famers in franchise history, that's Todd Helton, Larry Walker.
Mm-hmm.
No question to be had there. That's just obvious. It gets a little interesting after that. About 6 months ago, I would have pretty easily slid Nolan Arenado into the third spot here with the general assumption that he was going to play at least 4 or 5 more years in Colorado at a level befitting Nolan Arenado, which would make him clearly the best player in franchise history.
Right.
If he leaves after, no, if there's an 82 game season, whatever the hell, you know, if he's out of here before he plays another 150, 200, 300 games, he ultimately won't be on the Rockies Mount Rushmore. Like, from a pure talent standpoint, obviously he makes it, but no, he's not. He hasn't had the career in Colorado that Carlos Gonzalez put together. He hasn't had the career in Colorado even so far in terms of longevity that Charlie Blackmon has put together. And, you know, while his peak has obviously been higher to some degree, I think we do look at these, you know, when we don't know how a guy's going to finish out his career, we're looking back in hindsight, and a guy like Charlie Blackmon spends his entire career with the Colorado Rockies and, you know, does have several years where he was MVP caliber, finishes his career out and ends up second at worst in all of the major categories, probably to Todd Helton, which is about where Charlie Blackman's on the trajectory of. There's no way you would put Nolan over him. So, and I see some of the comments asking for pitchers. I'd love to stretch and put Jorge De La Rosa Jorge De La Rosa's entire career is super underrated. And honestly, he's probably like the 6th or 7th best player in Rockies history. More than a lot of the like Blake Street Bombers who people might try to force into the conversation, be like, where's Bichette and Galarraga? Like, great players, but no.
Who's the 4th then, Drew? If it's not
Do you need to give us a with Nolan and a without Nolan version?
Because like Nolan, seven years is not a small say. I mean, this is the most talented guy to come through.
A lot of gold gloves there.
Like. Yeah, and it's like 5 consecutive 35 plus home run years, right?
Oh yeah,
with 130 plus ribbies. I mean, you look at his peak compared to other guys. I almost don't care what comes after. I think Nolan came in as my 3rd Rocky. And kind of cemented himself. I think the 4th is where the field could take it. Like, you've got 5 options, basically.
But do you think at all, if he does leave Colorado, the way he leaves Colorado, if it is in a negative way, that would affect that?
No, I guess there's a point there.
Tulo? Is that what this is now?
That's exactly right. Like, Troy Tulowitzki is the most talented player who's ever put on a Colorado Rockies uniform.
Larry
Walker might have something to say about that, Drew.
I'm sorry, but in right field, you just do not have the ability to impact your team the way a guy who's head and shoulders the best hitting and fielding shortstop in baseball. He was a top 5 hitter and a top 5 fielder at a premium position when he was healthy. And that's just, you just don't get that. Sometimes catcher, like Buster Posey for a little while, was that. But it's very, very difficult to be both of those things. Obviously, the way he left, the fact that he got hurt, Rockies fans would destroy me if I tried to put him on the Mount Rushmore. And I think that's just worth considering when you think about the legacy of Nolan Arenado. Not that it'll be as bad, but especially because there's a guy right next to him who has been in MVP conversations, who put up the best leadoff hitting season in the history of Major League Baseball, which is 1,000 years old. Charlie Blackmon had across the board the best season a leadoff hitter has ever had. I feel like his career in general is super underrated. You go and look at the number of times he's put up obscene numbers. And if he stays through the end of his career, he's the only guy who's got an opportunity to pass Todd Helton in some of these all-time categories. If Nolan leaves, it's Charlie Blackman.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Oh, and who's the third? So it's Larry, Todd,
Cargo. Because Cargo's the guy who occupies second place right now.
And, I think it's hard to argue with Cargo.
I would put Trullo there over Cargo.
Yeah,
I would.
Hey, can we talk about Matt Holliday? Because I'm all about peaks. To me, peaks matter a lot more than longevity.
I do know that I saw people saying Matt Holliday.
Unfortunately, he won a ring in St. Louis, Andre. So it's almost like he's a Cardinal.
No, right. Yeah, that's the problem.
He's gone.
You can make the Peyton Manning argument. That's true. But I don't know. I think he is a homegrown Rocky. I think he got robbed of that MVP. You know,
right.
those 2 years at his peak, outside of Larry Walker and some of the kind of video game numbers that the Bombers were putting up, he's like, no one can mess with Matt Holliday.
Yeah, offensively, 2007 was the best non-Larry Walker or Todd Helton season in history. And right. When I did my list of like the all-time like dream team Rockies team, if you could just take the guys at their peak, I did take Matt Holliday right. over Charlie Blackman. Yeah. But my interpretation of the question, who sure. gets onto the Mount Rushmore, is yeah. who has done the most for the organization. The who's yeah. yeah, who's right. and there's also something very Colorado Rocky about Charlie Blackman. Wasn't a top pick. He was underrated throughout his entire minor league career and the first 4 years of his major league career. In fact, throughout his entire major league career, Charlie Blackman has been underrated and overlooked, despite the fact that he kind of has this lovable and quirky personality. But he's such a blue collar guy and such an outdoorsman, fisherman. Like, he's such a Colorado Rocky that I think, if you went out to the average ball game, and it's obviously these days, you know, fans are going to be recency biased. I think Blackman's the guy.
So, what's cool is that Mount Rushmore represents all Rockies eras. No matter if it's Nolan or Charlie, you kind of have all the key right. eras. You know, Walker yeah. represents the Bombers, Todd, the next step, and, right. you know, Cargo, that kind of nice run of a couple playoff seasons. And the 07, not that great represented here, I guess.
And Andre, you can answer this for the Broncos too. What are the future prospects for that Mount Rushmore? Like, obviously, if Arenado sticks around, he's easy slam dunk. But someone like John Gray, does he have a chance to make that in the future if he continues his career?
Now you're getting me real excited. Now you're
Marquez.
The people that hate when I bring up that John Gray is already the third or fourth best pitcher in Rockies history, and they don't believe me because he had his worst season when the Rockies had their best season, and that hurts. But Gray or Marquez or Freeland, they have three starting pitchers who are still like in their physical primes, who have shown an extraordinary amount of promise. But the answer to that question is very clearly, very obviously, Trevor Story. Stay healthy, do your thing, get your money, stick around, get on that Mount Rushmore, kid. He, again, because of the shortstop thing, for very similar reasons that I would put Troy Tulowitzki as the most talented guy in franchise history, if Trevor Story can stick around that long and be that valuable at that position, then he's more valuable right now and going forward than Nolan Arenado. And if the Rockies, and this may be a thing, have the question, which of those two guys do you take moving forward? I think Trevor Story is the easy answer to that question.
Shortstop bias. The shortstop bias.
Be what it be, baby.
That's true.
All right, Rudo, let's move on to you. Who is on the Avs Mount Rushmore? We have Chris Hill over here saying he feels bad for you because there are so many worthy Avalanche players.
The reality is there are two Mount Rushmores for the Colorado Avalanche. One of them has these three players on it, and the all-time one.
For people listening, he's wearing the three-headed monster.
Yes, shirt. Sorry, three-headed monster shirt on. The all-time one, none of these three players are on it yet. Forsberg, Sakic, Waugh, all three slam dunks. No problem, easy. No doubt about it. Easily done. You could make a case already probably for McKinnon for that fourth spot, I think. Certainly, I believe by the end of his career, he will be on the all-time Mount Rushmore easily. But right now, as it stands, it's got to be Milan Hayduk. He is the franchise leader in way too many categories to leave off of that Mount Rushmore.
AJ was ready to.
He knew he was gonna do it. You can't. There's no way you can leave Hayduk off of the Mount Rushmore, given what he's done for the franchise. That he is the leader
Charlie
in so
Blackman
many
argument.
Of those categories.
AJ's mad.
And look, Footer's number five, right? Like, he has his number retired. He rounds out that team, but Mount Rushmore only has four, man. And let's be honest. It's going to be, if Footer was on that list, it's too easy to knock him off for Nathan McKinnon. It just is. That's the way it's going to be. And I honestly, the thing about the Avs is the next I'll say 5 years is going to establish a new dominance over this Mount Rushmore.
Yeah.
You have McKinnon. There's a very good chance that Makar is going to make a case for that Mount Rushmore. Even someone like Mikko Rantanen might throw their name in the ring.
You know?
Take chips, right? They just got to win some chips.
At least one. Least one, for sure. For Rantanen, maybe two.
I feel like there would be just a Mount Rushmore for the three-headed monster, and then you add Kale on there.
Right. That's the new generation Mount Rushmore.
It's pretty crazy that the Avs are getting. The Avs have that much.
Two generations,
talent to really just take
ignore that
over.
10 years in the middle, and we're
gonna don't bring up Dushin or Stasny, please. Rudo,
Eric, modify that shirt that Rudo's got on, and just draw a little Kale Makar head off to
the weird number 8.
No, like, just add a Kale.
Oh, pet of kale. They're eating kale.
Did Rob Blake get any consideration?
They eat their vegetables.
Wasn't the prime of his career was spent elsewhere. He spent a couple years here. He won his cup here, but his number's not even retired. And it's not. He's arguably the best defenseman to ever play for the organization, but the same kind of story that it's what you did for the franchise specifically.
Right.
His overall career didn't apply enough to the Avs.
Yeah.
All right. Well, for people listening and people in the comments who are excited to hear AJ and Rudo talk about this, as someone said, the next Avs pod will be AJ and Rudo fighting over this. They have already recorded a podcast fighting over this. So go check them out at DNVR_Avalanche. You can find that.
Actually
living.
Like,
what a legend. Why isn't he on this show? What have you done?
I said Makar is going to be on it. So.
I mean, AJ, if you're really that heated, the link's in the Slack.
You don't
want the smoke. It would be for a second since you guys already recorded a podcast about this.
We don't want the smoke.
All right, Brendan, what did you and DNVR Nuggets collectively agree on for the Nuggets Mount Rushmore?
So I'm curious if there will be any surprises here. But you got to go David Thompson, Alex English. Those are locks.
Yeah.
But the next two, I think different people will see this differently.
Don't make me mad.
You have Carmelo Anthony.
Okay.
And then you have, we put Dan Issel in there.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
And it's really, I mean, you can't just rule out like the ABA, NBA liminal stuff. or the ABA stuff that happened. And like, you know, like Issel's important, like he's there statistically, like he registers.
Sure.
But there's also like an importance, right, of moving the franchise forward, played an important role, like in the early days of the Nuggets that sort of set the foundation for where they go from there. You'll obviously notice there's no Jokic on this list. So I think the toughest question, like there's two guys that you could argue could be in there over Issel or maybe Melo, and that's Mutombo and that's Jokic.
Yeah.
Dre, do you feel like I robbed anyone here with the four I put up?
You know, I had a really hard time with this. I agree completely on the
Rip,
Dre.
I thought he was thinking.
It's a great freeze frame,
I thought he was thinking.
Me too.
Really taking it in. Really
non-druidic pause.
I honestly, at least with Jokic, I mean, if McKinnon isn't on the Avs yet, I feel like Jokic, there's still, I mean, he's already proven a lot, but I think there's more that needs to be shown from him. Maybe another All-Star appearance, maybe two more playoff appearances.
Yeah, I mean,
to just kind of solidify it.
Would Adrian think he needs to play more defense, maybe?
I think he could.
AJ, well, we will get to him.
It didn't stop Rudo's Carmelo fight. From working his way on here. I honestly think it's just a matter of 2 to 3 more seasons for Jokic. I mean, he's.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I'm bullish on him. I am one of those people. But, like, Jokic's ceiling, I think, is top 20, top 25-ish range all time. And whether he gets there or not, it's a whole other discussion. But, like McKinnon, that's a matter of when, not if. But yeah. It's not now. And
yeah, I agree.
Then I think the interesting one, too, is Mutombo, who also only has 5 years as a Nugget, also has contributions to other organizations, right, in the league, and not just in a Nuggets uniform. And then, of course, we think of him for that famous photo and the upset, but, like, where does that actually place in Nuggets history, right? And how important was that to, like, where they went from there? Right. You know, like, when I think of Nuggets, I'm not sure I think of Mutombo first and foremost. But it's tough. It's tough.
I almost had to split Izzo and Thompson. Because they represent the same era. It's really like pick one. And, it, you know, Thompson's peak was greater. Izzo lasted longer, was also a coach. Yeah. Probably more important. I might even split the difference. I had Jokic in mind. I like your argument. I might kick Jokic out, put Doug Mullen. I think Doug Moore is as important to defining the identity of this franchise as arguably any player, coach, or anyone else.
So I did put together a second string Mount Rushmore, and that was Doug Moe, Mutombo, Jokic, and then I had Fat Lever on there. Ooh, and so I think that's about right. But that fourth spot was kind of difficult. And then even Melo, who's like, I mean, I think you do got to put him on there. But at the end of the day, like, you know, the Melo years didn't necessarily, it's hard to really trace
about to jump off.
Where the Nuggets are now directly back to the Melo stuff outside of like the trade. And so I'm not saying, I think Melo should be on there, but it's not as like a slam dunk a case as you might think initially.
Oh, we got this comment. Drew?
Don't.
Yeah,
and I mean, making people mad.
There is the part where Melo could have gone to the finals and he just said he didn't want to be here anymore. So that does factor in a little bit.
There's also the part where Carmelo Anthony single-handedly saved the franchise as one of only five guys ever in the history of the NBA who's going to have over 26,000 points, 7,000 rebounds, 3,000 assists. There's also the part where he went to the postseason every single year in a historically ridiculous Western Conference where he happened to get matched up against dynasties in the first round.
Now, the only time he made it out of the first round was with Chauncey on his team.
Remember
the ridiculousness surrounding Carmelo Anthony. The fact that he was the most clutch player in the NBA 6 years running.
Wow.
My goodness gracious.
Fun fact, Drew. Did you know Melo's the...
Still doesn't mean that people in Denver, like, there's all that.
They never liked him. They hated him the whole time. That's why it was stupid. That's why he left. Congratulations. You ran out the most talented player in the history of your franchise. I asked a guy who called Alex English and Fat Lever and Carmelo Anthony this exact question. Who's the most talented guy to ever suit up for the Nuggets? He said, without prompting, Jerry Schemmel, I got him on record, Carmelo Anthony. And this was years after he'd left. Look, man, it's not like people want to think with their hearts and no matter how much they don't like him, that's fine. The facts tell a completely different story. His entire career has been painted by BS narratives that people still live by.
He's still going.
It's nonsense.
Should I respond or should I just let AJ?
I mean, if you respond.
I'm good. I'm good.
The current. The stats Drew's referencing, by the way, he's getting those off the tattoo he has on his arm. So.
Carmelo, right there.
All right, before AJ and Bruto go off, guys, sports betting in Colorado is finally legal, and if you're wanting to get in on the betting, check out our friends over at DraftKings Sportsbook. Even though we don't have our traditional sports going on right now, you can still bet on shows. The KBO, UFC,
Russian
and so much
ping
more.
Ping pong. Bundesliga. Yeah.
Soccer.
Yeah. all these great futures, our personal bets that we're putting on the app, all the Broncos specials, the DNVR specials. So
there you go. Professor Dre, the math magician, as he has shown on this live stream, is very passionate about it. Plus, I think, did you not realize that was my name?
I just click enter, baby. I just click a button. I don't care.
What I'm probably most excited for this weekend is the Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, Tiger Woods. That's just going to be awesome. So you can go bet on that. Download their app today and use the code DNVR when you sign up. For a limited time, all new users can get a sign-up bonus up to $1,000. Don't forget to enter that code DNVR and get your sign-up bonus up to $1,000 on the DraftKings Sportsbook. Of course, must be 21 or older, Colorado only. Bonus comprised of a first deposit bonus and a first bet match up to $500. Deposit bonus requires 25 times playthrough. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. And in all seriousness, if you are struggling and developing a gambling problem, definitely call 1-800-522-4700.
I want to hear Drew do that disclaimer in his mad Carmelo Anthony voice.
Tune into the GNBR Rockies podcast 5 days a week.
It's such a funny, like, the last take I would have pinned to Drew is defend the famous villain of Denver that forced his way out. It's awesome.
All right.
That's my bet.
Stop it. All right. Chris Hill, who is an avid commenter on the DNVR Bets Daily show right here. Free in-game bet on DraftKings if you place a $20 bet on golf plus a Peyton Manning special bet. Definitely go check that out. All right, I am cutting off the Mellow chat. We're going to the Avs chat.
Let's fight about something else.
Let's go. Who, AJ, I guess you talk first.
That might have been a better, that might be way more interesting to let Brendan and Drew hash out this Mellow drama.
No, we're gonna let you go.
Come in hot, AJ. I was promised heat.
The idea, like, I respect the Hey Duke take, right? Like, that's fine. It's wrong, but it's fine.
It's not wrong.
The reason why you gotta have foot on that Mount Rushmore, man, is that there's like no more of like a hockey soul on any of those teams, on those cup winning teams, than Adam Foote. He was that hard nosed defenseman that did all the dirty work. He was like the symbol of all the bottom six guys, of all the rugged defensemen in the league who don't get that love, who's not going to be in the Hall of Fame. And he won two cups. Like, we watched those. You got your turn. You wait.
Wow. That's how
you wait.
Oh, I'm all right. Really,
the
I'm
only
go
we watched those 96 games together. We watched those games together. We watched them go through Detroit and Florida, and we were both like, wow, that defense kind of bad. But you know who wasn't? Adam Foote. He was there. They don't win either of those cups without him. He was there. He was the man on those defenses. And even when we went back and watched 01, Rob Blake, awesome. Ray Bourque, kind of old and bad, actually, at that point. Yeah, but Footer was legit, and the series we didn't watch in from 2001 was the Western Conference Finals when he erased Keith Tkachuk, erased him, who was having a career year. You chill out, hold on, because Adam Foote erased that dude. That's where he doesn't get that love, is that he just does not get the appreciation for all of the dirty work that he did, because scoring 50 goals is cool.
It's true.
Putting up more points, that's great. Yep. But the fact that he played a really long time, like, get out of here with that, man. That's why he has those records. By the end of his career, the last 5 years of Hayden's career, he was a compiler. He was not a high-end player anymore. He was just a dude getting contracts because those teams were bad and they didn't have anybody better. Like, respect to Duke. He was awesome. He should be the fifth guy on that list, but he was a compiler. And the fact that it's like, oh, he's got all the franchise records. No. Get out of here with that garbage.
For the exact same reason. Come on.
Foote should have been on the – he should be on that Rushmore because he helped win two championships. Two of them. And we even watched in 2001 in that Stanley Cup final. Where was Milan Hayduk? Where was he? That dude dressed up in a Casper outfit for the entire series.
What? All right. Phrase.
It was ridiculous. And you know who was there? Adam Foote. Who had one of the biggest goals in that series? It wasn't Milan Hayduk. It was Adam Foote.
It was Adam Foote.
Yeah. Did Adam Foote create that goal though?
Did he score it or not? Because I didn't see Hayduk scoring it. Where are those goals at? Especially when that's like the thing he did. He scored goals. He didn't do it in the biggest series. Adam Foote did. Get out of here with this Hayduk nonsense.
The only thing that Adam Foote has over Milan Hayduk is Patrick Roy carried him to a second cup. That's it. That's the only thing that he has. Go look up the records. You know how many records, Avalanche records, Adam Foote has? None. He couldn't even get the penalty minutes record on the Colorado Avalanche.
Why is that a meaningful record?
You know what he didn't do? He did not play his whole career for the Colorado Avalanche either. He went and captained the Columbus Blue Jackets. It doesn't matter whose fault it is. Just like it doesn't matter that Patrick Roy carried him to a cup, apparently.
So are we gonna hold it against Peter Forsberg that he left too?
I love how the debate goes from who's 4-5 to who's good and who sucked.
carried him to a cup. Peter my Ford God, this dude. Patrick Roy carried all of those dudes to a cup if you want to act like that.
Yeah, he straight up did. That's why he's on Mount Rushmore and Adam.
Like, answer Patrick Roy, you would have been better off going Patrick Roy twice on Mount Rushmore than Milan Hayduk.
That's just, okay. I mean, there's a good argument for Patrick Roy twice, but Hayduk should be on there.
Let Rudo get his last word. I'm giving you your final arguments, your final statement to the jury. Rudo, do you have anything left to say?
Hayduk is the all-time Av. He's the only player in history to play 1,000 games for the team. If longevity means nothing, then why even play sports?
Yeah, exactly. Okay, good.
AJ's not sure about that last.
I'm with you.
Completely Dre accepted that, though, dude.
AJ is like, the fuck? What does that mean? Yeah.
AJ, longevity doesn't mean anything. Statement. You don't play sports. Okay.
30 seconds. Oh, this is like a who won the week style competition.
Honestly, you would have actually been better off making a second argument that Joe Sakic should have been on there as GM as well as player. If you're not going to put Foote on there, then you're just wrong. But at least go with the right argument and not go with the Duke. And I love Hayduk, but it just can't happen. Foote belongs there. He's the man.
Nope.
All right, wow. I'll make the final determination here.
Go vote.
It really doesn't matter which way you go. I know I'm right.
I'm just going to go with
AJ.
I'm going to go with AJ because Rudo looks like he's going to blame me personally less if I don't pick him.
It's the safer pick as AJ. Yeah.
Would you agree, though, that Foote was more irreplaceable to the two cup teams, Rudo? Would you concede that?
Hayduk wasn't even on one of the cup teams. So
there you go. You answered our question. Thank you. AJ has one verdict. It's decided.
They do have a podcast where I don't even know how long they probably went arguing about this. So definitely go check that out.
We had a real long argument about Foote in the top 10 Avs of all time, even.
Yeah, this dude put Adam Foote at like 8. So.
All right. With that, thanks for stopping by, AJ.
Bye, AJ.
Move on with the show. I don't know if this one will be as controversial, but the next, we talked about everyone. I was like, wait, did we forget someone? That really was a lot.
It was a lot.
Who is on the overall Denver Sports Mount Rushmore before we finish this off?
John Elway.
Yeah.
I think
there are three clear representatives that make it real easy, and Elway, Sakic.
Walker.
To me, it's Walker. To many, it would be Helton. To me, it's Walker. Again, I'm a peak guy, not a longevity guy. So I understand that maybe in the Mount Rushmore, my theory doesn't even work. But I'll concede Helton as the Rockies representative. That fourth spot, I don't know if a Nuggets guy is going to get a fourth spot and it can be democratic like that. I think it has to be Terrell Davis. I think you have to have two Broncos in there.
But if there were to be a Nuggets player on there, who would it be?
I don't think there is. The funny thing is the best case for that is a guy who's not on the current Rushmore. I think by the time Jokic hangs it up, there's a chance he can represent mm-hmm. basketball in Denver that way.
Yeah.
But that's a few, that's prognostication, right?
It's going to be exciting to look back on this chat in a few years and see what new prospects we can add to it. Cause we've talked about Jokic. You've talked about Cale Makar, Nathan MacKinnon, the three-headed monster in general. We've talked about Kyle Freeland, John Gray, and the Broncos now have a great amount of players that are really young who seem to have potential in Drew Locke, and we'll see how Jerry Jeudy does and all that. It's going to be an interesting one. We've got some people adding their opinion on here. So Elway, Sakic, Walker, Alex English.
Very democratic.
Elway, Vaughn, Sakic, and Waugh.
I kind of like that one, I think.
Yeah.
I think there's an argument for definitely it either being a Bronco or an Av.
Who is the greatest player to ever play in Colorado? Elway and Waugh. You're making two very good cases there.
Yeah.
Well, the has to win a title before they're in this.
Yeah.
Right.
All right. Next question comes in from Sandblaster. Asking if all the Denver pro teams adapted one color scheme like Pittsburgh did, what would it be?
Ooh.
That's a good question.
Where's Eric? We don't have the right person.
I know.
There's only one correct answer. So
is it orange and blue?
Get out.
Obviously.
Yeah.
Do you not live in Denver?
Eric said the same thing.
It's orange and blue. It has to be, guys.
I think there's a blue in there for sure.
Are we getting rid of all the purple?
Navy blue.
Yes. I love the purple. Yes.
That was a bad idea to start with. It's not cool, but
I want it to be.
You monsters.
We're not giving up orange, I can tell you that much.
We're definitely giving up orange.
I think orange is blue is for sure.
You have three teams that
Nuggets,
use blue.
The Broncos, and the Avs. Uh-huh. I think it would be more of in my opinion, that navy. But I don't know what that other color would be. I don't necessarily think it would be orange.
This city, it's orange. The city is orange. Sports in this city are orange. Anyone changes that, they will be shot on sight. Those are the laws. I did not make them up. I'm sorry, guys. It's us in Holland, orange sports. That's how it's done.
Have you ever seen in the Pepsi Mafia Center, Dre? Come on now.
Well, that's dictator Dre. All
that, you know. This is what happened when you bring the angry Italian on to.
That's exactly right.
So historically, Dre, you're definitely right. Broncos Town 1, 2, and 3.
Yep.
But I will say, in my years in Denver, which are these very recent ones, the transplant days, there's a lot less of that and a lot more of the other teams than was once described to me.
Because
I agree, Lindsay. Everyone is
Modo looking like a highlighter.
Everyone's
fired
up today.
I mean, my response to that would be they haven't been very good the last few years. So,
That's obvious.
Let Drew Locke make the postseason again, and then I think we'll see a lot more orange. Yeah.
You're probably right.
Yeah.
So just the color of whichever team is in the playoffs. That's Denver sports.
No. Rainbow skyline, though, that's pretty inclusive. I like
that's pretty good.
I wear a rainbow skyline basically every day. So
not the way that there was the image of Von Miller on.
Yeah, not that, yeah.
Not that one. I apologize to whoever made it, but
you don't have to. They should apologize to us, actually.
Okay, I'm trying to be nice, but
no need.
Okay.
Everyone take a deep breath.
AJ is on one. Drew Locke making the postseason is the best joke told on this podcast so far.
Look,
this is going to bring Ryan Konigsberg on here.
Next year, over under, I've got him in the playoffs. Dre, what's my DraftKings odds? I've got him in the playoffs. He's gone. Everyone's out. That take was so hot.
Everyone is struggling. It's left to us three.
I'll answer that for you, Drew.
Yeah.
No, I think he's going to – I think they'll make the playoffs, I believe.
I think they'll make the playoffs, too.
I believe in Drew.
I mean, AJ doesn't even specify if it's this year or any – he says Drew Locke making the postseason is the best joke told.
I will say AJ not believing in Drew Locke is among the most predictable developments of the century. I just want to put that out.
Sure. I'm a believer. I'm a believer in all of it because I watched my very first NFL draft on this here network.
Oh, that's right.
And I believe in all the talent I believe in Jerry Jeudy.
With the way the draft went, John Elway is setting up Drew Locke for success with the draft, with everything else going on.
Either that or his offensive line is going to get him killed. Working on finishing up that
offensive line, but crazy.
The Giants haven't had an offensive line for 5 years. It's fine.
It's Hot Take Friday. That's the only way I can describe this podcast today.
I like it.
Okay, so I guess that let us know what you guys think, because clearly that was kind of hard for us to
no consensus
agree on what a color. We all agreed it would be some sort of blue.
Well, maybe technically, Andre agreed for us, for all of us.
Yeah, Andre said that those are the rules.
That's right. So you, I said you have no decision. VR bar
saying anything else, or else you know what Dre's doing. Apparently. So, let us know what you guys think. That's all I have to say. Oh, wow. I was not expecting it to be such a heated podcast.
Me either, man. I came on, like, ready to drink this Mountain Beach. Put myself on the beach in my head.
All right. Well, speaking of Mount Rushmores, maybe we can see if our friends over at Denver Rubber Company could create some sort of Mount Rushmore Denver thing for us. You know, they're very good at...
That's awesome. Yeah,
you know, maybe.
Totally good.
Yeah, do that.
But no matter what, DRC is the most reliable local partner for your long-term projects. These guys have been around since 1972 and are the absolute best and at what they do, and they've remained open during this crazy pandemic, helping supply products to other essential businesses like medical, military defense, government, wind energy, and the food and beverage industry. So be sure to call them today for any of your needs at 1-800-259-0010 or visit them at drcfirst.com/DNVR. What are you shaking your head, Drew?
AJ just can't miss tonight.
Oh, what else did he say?
Don't even.
Oh, my goodness. AJ.
Guys, let's not get canceled. Like, 2 more months, I think, and then we're out of this. All right? hang tough.
You know, honestly, DRC built, I know what they could make. I've been watching has anyone been watching the marble racing?
Yeah.
I can't remember what
Jellies or whatever.
Yeah. I want to see him make a custom track. Those marble races are incredible.
Oh, that's sick. We could do that at the bar.
Cool. Ooh.
Yeah.
Get some live DK lines on the blue marble.
Dude, we're putting Hot Wheel tracks in at the bar. I don't even care. Yeah.
All right, Jay. Cool. Are you good? Are you in for good? Or what's going on?
I have no clue what is going on right now.
You're not wearing orange, Dre. It's your own fault.
It's true. Don't count to last long. That would be my advice.
Finally, hip hip Uray, I think. I apologize if I said that wrong. Asked if there were a last dance series made for the Broncos, Avs, Nuggets, or Rockies, what would it cover? I know pretty much every podcast on our network has talked about this segment or had a sort of a segment on this topic. So let's just touch on it briefly. And if you want more details, you can check out their podcast. But AJ responded to Hip Hip Uray on the DMVR.com. So, Rudo, let's start with you, since I know you guys have already had that discussion. What would a last dance for the Avs cover?
I mean, the obvious season would be the 2000-2001 season with the Cinderella story of a 40-year-old Ray Bourque finally winning his cup after 22 years and getting all the behind-the-scenes look, especially if it started at the end of the season before, where Bourque was thinking about retiring at the end of that year and didn't think it was come together. They get Rob Blake at the trade deadline. That's the story that makes you feel good for the Avs, obviously. There.
Definitely. Especially with the ending just being so right. Magical.
It all came together. Game 7, Bourque gets the cup swept to him, obviously. We covered all of it in the watches. It was a great time. There are a handful of other seasons that both AJ and I would like, but you can check out our pod for that one.
All right. Broncos, let's go that route next. Someone said back-to-back Super Bowl run for the Broncos would be a good series. I definitely agree with that.
Yeah, and I mean, Elway's final season in 98, I think, would be perfect. That team was on fire. They start 13-0. Terrell Davis breaks the 2,000-yard barrier. Elway already kind of had to go to the podium and announce he wasn't retiring to start that season, kind of the cap finagling that went on. I mean, that was the team the entire country was glued on. That was the NFL's MVP and a record breaker and a future Hall of Famer at quarterback. Just this dynastic type group that had everyone's attention to it. And kind of defined an era in Denver, especially for our generation growing up. So, yeah, I mean, that's a no-brainer. That'd be amazing. It should be a 7-part series. It'd be insane.
What do you think of a Peyton Manning-style series of coming back from injury, then going to the 2013 Super Bowl, not doing well, and then going back in 2015 and winning a Super Bowl? I think that would be another good one.
I mean, just to see the dynamics and everything that was going on in 2015 as Peyton got injured and the defense having to take over and Brock's role and all of it. Yeah, that'd be amazing too.
That's the thing. I mean, Peyton's the man. I'm not trying to argue. That defense won that title.
You know? 100%.
It's really like Peyton wasn't good that year. I mean, it's revisionist history to say he was. And that actually is interesting because he's still that guy. I think something
with Peyton, though, was bringing that motivation. And he just brought something that helped elevate the team. Sure. And I think that's something that we're seeing that potentially Drew Locke has kind of changed the momentum already in that locker room with just his energy. So I think that also played a big role in
Peyton
that. But
was
definitely
so
the defense.
Special. And his demand for greatness from everyone, that team just had no choice but to win.
All right, Drew, what would the Rockies like? Oh, and with that, perfect timing.
Out of here.
Drew, what about the Rockies?
So the obvious answer here is the 2017. There is already a pretty good documentary about that team. I think you could do a better one just with more hindsight. It was made almost in the immediate aftermath, and I think you could do even more about that entire season and the postseason run. But it's pretty good. Like, it's been done. People mostly know that story. If you're a Rockies fan, you probably know all the ins and outs of it. So I'm going to go off the board here a little bit with something that maybe isn't as feel good as these ones that we're just celebrating great seasons. I'd love to see a deep dive on the career of Troy Tulowitzki. You could go with like Larry Walker or Todd Helton if you wanted a more feel good story. But again, I feel like those guys, especially with the pushes to get them in the Hall of Fame and everything, their careers are mostly well understood. I think Tulo is one of the most interesting players who's ever come through this town. And his story is just from top to bottom intriguing. And you can cover 07 a little bit in his rookie year and their trip back and then all the crazy injuries he went through and his tumultuous relationship sometimes with the fans and the media. And now that his career ended and through the trade, like, it's one of those things. If I knew somebody had a camera, the stories I've been told about the night he was traded, like, if there was a camera in that room, or if you could get personal accounts, if you could really get people to sit down and talk in depth about the trade of Troy Tulowitzki, it would be riveting. Even if you weren't into it at all at the time, I think you would find that story to be absolutely fascinating.
I agree. Someone on here brought up the 09 team because of the great potential and then also disappointment on how the season ended.
There's an incredible look you could take at that 09 team. They have the best record in franchise history. They had to fire their manager early on, who had been a hero that took them to the World Series just a couple years before. And then if you want to get into revisionist history and feel just absolutely terrible as a Colorado Rockies fan, you can look at that series in 09 against the Phillies, who went on, I think, to win it, or at least to go to the World Series.
They won it the year before. Then they won
the year before. That's right.
But then they also
won. And
just casually run it in there. Not as in your face as Brendan does it. But you know, just
to keep the record straight. But you go back and if you were to watch that series with a documentarian eye and talk about, oh man, if we had instant replay today, the Rockies win that series against the Philadelphia Phillies in 09. And they could have had a second of 3 years of advancing multiple rounds in the postseason and really having a great deal of promise. And it might have changed how you could even include going into the next year, 2010. They were one of the best teams in baseball and had the best pitcher in baseball for the only time in franchise history, and then completely collapsed in the final month in 2010. And that was basically the end of that team. So you could do one that covers sort of that whole era from 07 to their eventual total collapse at the end of 2010. But I want to see the career of Tulo. I think that would just be fascinating. I think some people would like dig deeper into their negative feelings about him. I think some people would get a greater sense of how incredible he really was. People who have forgotten, and there's a lot of people who've forgotten how good he was at his best. And you roll a little bit of film, throw a few stats on the page, I think people would be kind of blown away.
There's so much to cover there, though. Like, you could do an entire series of the last 22 games of the 07 season. Like,
right. Right. You could, I mean, there are so many stories just from that one. And there is that doc. It's called 21 Days. It's pretty good. I think you can find it on YouTube.
I'm down to watch that. Yeah.
That'd be a good DNVR watches.
I was just thinking that. I think we did one just for the Rockies side a little bit ago. If we wanted to do it again, it's really good. It's worth watching. And there's so many little stories, little heroes. Like, a lot of people don't know about a young terminally ill patient that Clint Hurdle befriended that year. And the guy was an athlete and had a number. And Clint Hurdle started writing his number on the lineup card the day the streak started. Like,
oh, that's awesome.
And I mean, that year has a thousand of those things. Kaz Matsui hit a grand slam in the postseason. There, it goes on and on. There, all everything that shouldn't have happened that happened with that team, all the great pitchers that they beat in that stretch. There should be another 2007 doc. It was incredible. One of the most incredible moments in sports, man.
All right, Brendan, what about for the Nuggets?
I think it's probably the 09 team as well. This is the closest the Nuggets have been to a title. Rewatching, obviously, I was watching the NBA casually, but I wasn't watching from a Nuggets perspective in 09.
It would hurt.
And true. I didn't realize until we rewatched it this year. That Lakers team that beat them, pretty good, not great. Better than the Magic team they beat in the finals, also decent, not great. That team was good enough. And I say that without the emotional intake. I wasn't a fan yet. I don't feel biased in saying this. Like, they were a couple breaks away from beating that Lakers team, and if they do, I think they win that title. To get so close, to fall apart in the way they did, everyone remembers the Anthony Carter inbounds play, but Kenyon Martin's was actually worse games later.
It was a season worse.
That started with Allen Iverson on the team, turns into Chauncey coming over, and then you still have Melo and guys like Birdman and George Karl. So the personalities are
very
there. The off-the-court stuff would be fun, but also, like, this isn't like the Nuggets team by default. This team was good enough to win a title, and they didn't. And that may not be a super fun watch, but it'd be interesting.
I feel like another good watch, again, not fun, kind of not many fun things for Nuggets fans at the moment, but I feel like I'd be interested to watch some sort of series that covered last season for the Nuggets, because there was just first time they made it to the playoffs in a very long time. Jokic's rise, the sassy series in Portland, and then the four overtimes and just all of that. There's so much that happened last season. And same with the Avs. I mean, their first, they obviously had gone twice to the postseason, but their first, like, real, real run where you felt it happening. I feel like who knows? Again, this may be another era that in a few years we come back we're going to be watching. They're going to be stories about Jokic and McKinnon and McCarr, and it's going to be really interesting.
To me, and of course we can't know, but to me it has felt often in this place, in this environment, like this is the beginning of a better and bigger era of Nuggets basketball, and I really don't feel that way. Now, without those results, it's just a fun year. But you're right, Allie. Like, there's a chance we look back at that in hindsight with some confirmation. Like, yeah, this was the beginning of that special stuff, you know?
If it doesn't happen, I honestly, at least for the Avs, believe that it will be considered a disappointment if they don't win a cup in the next 4 or 5 years.
That's crazy, man.
That's pretty crazy. And guess what? Maybe this series, there'll be parts that are filmed at the DNVR bar.
Oh, please.
I hope so.
That would be amazing, you know? I can't wait till we can get back to it and start watching some games there. But, guys, that's all we've got for today. Thank you to everyone who sent in their questions.
Good questions.
If you have any questions you want us to answer, definitely tweet at me or just respond to the podcast post on thednvr.com while you're asking a question on thednvr.com. Check out all of our other amazing content we might not have games being played, but these guys, all three right here, Andre included, are just grinding out content, and just there's a lot of stuff on our site even though there aren't games being played. So definitely check that out and be sure to subscribe. You'll get a free t-shirt. What's better than that? But have a great weekend, everyone. Drink some Breck brews, stay safe, and we will see you all next week.